On air, online, on demand, from New York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and glad you could come by. Happy Wednesday to you. I know it's already Wednesday. The fifth day of September, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and there's a lot going on. This New York Times op-ed that they published within the last hour is blowing up to be a big story, but I can't do my proper prep on that without reading through it, and it is I can't do that while I'm doing the show. So, but it ties in. It's apparently a story. It's apparently an op-ed written by somebody with in the White House, high position within the White House. So everybody's trying to guess who could that be, because it's a hit piece. It's a hit piece on Donald Trump, and the title of it is "I Am Part of the Resistance Inside the Trump Administration." So we don't know who that is, but it is somebody that is basically talking about, in fact, the subheadline is, "I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations." So we'll bring it up. We'll dig into it tonight and get it out on the topics for you guys tomorrow. But this ties in perfectly with, the timing of Bob Woodward's new book called Fear, Pulling Back the Curtain on Trump's Crazy Town. So the timing of Bob Woodward's book, let's see. Oh, that's right. We have a very important midterm election coming up here in just a couple of months. Like 2 months. 2 months and 1 day. It's November 6th. This is September 5th. So October, November, boom, we're there. So all of a sudden, Woodward comes out with this book. He has done hit books in the past. He's done a lot of these things. He writes books. That's what he does. So then you've got, and it's all about interviewing all these people that work for the president, high up in office, and their all the put-downs they're doing about Donald Trump. So the question then becomes, who do you believe? And by the way, this New York op-ed today, the thing about it is the New York Times says the Times today is taking the rare step of publishing an anonymous op-ed essay. We have done so at the request of the author, a senior official in the Trump administration whose identity is known to us and whose job would be jeopardized by its disclosure. We believe publishing this essay anonymously is the only way to deliver an important perspective to our readers. We invite you to submit a question about the essay or our vetting process. So, same goes for Bob Woodward. We know who Bob Woodward is, and he supposedly has hours and hours and hours of tape with the interviews with all these various high officials within the Trump administration, calling him an idiot and basically tearing down Donald Trump. That doesn't matter to me whether you like the president or you can't stand him. But it does come down to these kinds of this kind of reporting. You would think, since people are pushing back on Bob Woodward, that there would be, Woodward would take the would need to come out and say, you cannot deny what I wrote because I have it on tape. And here is the tape. So one of the tweets out today from President Trump, The idea that I ever called the president an idiot is not true. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. As I stated back in May and still firmly stand behind, quote, I spend more time with the president than anyone else, and we have an incredibly candid and strong relationship. He always knows where I stand, and he and I both know this story is total BS. I'm committed to the president, his agenda, and our country. This is another pathetic attempt to smear people close to President Trump and distract from the administration's many successes. Signed, Chief of Staff, General John Kelly. Okay? Then there's this statement from Jim Mattis. The contemptuous words about the president attributed to me in Woodward's book were never uttered by me or in my presence. While I generally enjoy reading fiction, this is uniquely Washington brand of literature, and his anonymous sources do not lend credibility. While responsible policymaking in the real world is inherently messy, it is essential that we challenge every assumption to find the best option. I embrace such debate and the open competition of ideas. In just over a year, these robust discussions and deliberations have yielded significant results, including near annihilation of ISIS caliphate, unprecedented burden sharing by our NATO allies, the repatriation of U.S. service remains, service member remains from North Korea, and the improved readiness of our armed forces. Our defense policies have also enjoyed overwhelming bipartisan support in Congress. In serving in this administration, the idea that I would show contempt for the elected commander-in-chief, President Trump, or tolerate disrespect to the office of the president from within our Department of Defense is a product of someone's rich imagination. So you get the idea. John Kelly and Jim Mattis, both considered to be highly credible, honest generals, are pushing back big on Woodward's book. So then you get this op-ed today by the New York Times that you know that wasn't just handed to them 2 hours ago. That has been in the plan. So this is, it appears to me to be a coordinated plan to try to bring down Donald Trump, at the very least to try to get Democrats to take control of the House and hopefully the Senate so they can stop his progress, stop his work, and, oh, by the way, let's try and impeach him. And if you, the more I hear from people on the left in high office, there's no question they're going to try and impeach him. I think the antics from the Kavanaugh hearing, it was so amateur yesterday that And they don't care. They are going to do whatever they're going to do to try to stop this Kavanaugh deal. They will do anything. And I suspect that shows that that's where they are also on trying to impeach Donald Trump. So I think that's what they want to do, and in the worst way. The very worst way. So Karl Rove was asked about this Woodward book and Woodward's credibility. And this is Carl's response to the Woodward book.
These books are built around people saying things, but whether or not those people's motives in reporting those things to Bob Woodward, you know, they might be suspect. And again, also, it's a question of he said, and then I heard somebody say that he said. So Woodward is very meticulous about his sources, but simply because somebody says to him, well, I heard this, or so-and-so said that, is no guarantee that it actually happened. And it is, there's a lot of score settling in these books. So look, again, I've seen these during the Bush years. You can't dismiss them all, but on the other hand, you got to take it with enough salt to give you a real problem at the doctor's office, because it is people settling scores. It's people, you know, and there are a lot of unintended targets in it. People trying to say to get it back at a colleague whom they didn't like, in essence, are then hurting the president, right, whom they serve.
Yeah. So I've heard this before. I think the criticism that is valid about the Trump White House is there's a lot of backstabbers. Settling scores is the term that Carl used, and he said it happened in the Bush administration as well. But people that go to the White House, I guess, are a bunch of ladder climbers, and they will do anything and everything to try to climb that ladder, and they don't care about sticking a knife in your back. So settling scores is what they are doing. That then brings up the question about if they accuse you of something, or they say, I heard somebody say something, are they telling the truth? Woodward may have them on tape saying exactly what he put in the book, but is their information valid, or is it some sort of, usually when somebody's attacked, look for the people that want that person's job. That's usually the case. If someone is under attack, that's usually somebody, the suspect is usually the person who wants that job. They want that person out so they can have that job. So I don't know what you make of these books and articles. Bob Woodward had a conversation with the president on the phone, and I thought it was pretty instructive. So I want to take a good chunk of this hour and play for you the conversation between Bob Woodward and Donald Trump. And we'll see what you make of this whole business. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. The other point that Carl made, we don't have the tape of it here, but he said, for all of you that love President Trump, this is not going to change your opinion of him one iota. For all of you that hate Donald Trump, this is not going to change your opinion one iota. And that's 90% of the left hates him, 90% of the right adores him or at least supports him. So I don't know if this book changes anything other than it gives Bob Woodward a big payday. 855-295-6600. Be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air, online, on demand.
You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Cyberloafing, the guessing has begun. He says a New York Times anonymous author is probably Jeff Sessions, Mitch McConnell, or Paul Ryan. That's a pretty good guess. Also a tweet from Donald Trump said, the already discredited Woodward book, so many lies and phony sources, has me calling Jeff Sessions mentally retarded and a dumb southerner. I said neither. Never used those terms on anyone, including Jeff. And being a southerner is a great thing. He made this up to divide. Well, let's listen to a little of the conversation. This is the first portion of the conversation. Bob Woodward and President Trump on the phone, mostly debating whose fault it was that the two never spoke in person before the book was done.
President Trump, how are you?
How are you? How are you doing? Okay.
Real well. I'm turning on my tape recorder.
Oh, that's
with
okay.
Your permission.
That's okay. I don't mind.
Sorry, we missed the opportunity to talk for the book.
Well, I just spoke with Kellyanne, and she asked me if I got a call. I never got a call. I never got a message. Who did you ask about speaking to me?
Well, about six people.
They don't tell me.
Senator. I talked to Kellyanne about it 2.5 months ago. She came for lunch.
Well, it's too bad. Of course, you and I had a conversation, a couple of years ago, and so that, I think, got you there a little bit. And we had a conversation many years ago, if you remember, in Trump Tower.
I did.
That has to be 20 years ago. And you were thinking about doing a book about me then, which is interesting. Who knew it would have been on this subject, right? Yeah, that was not in the cards at that time.
That's right. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I still remember that. I spent a lot of time on this, talked to lots of people.
Right, good.
And as you know and are living, we're at a pivot point in history.
Right.
And I would have liked to have done that, and I maximized my effort.
Right.
And somehow it didn't get to you. Or
it's really too bad because nobody told me about it, and I would have loved to have spoken to you. You know I'm very open to you. I think you've always been fair, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. There's more. I want to play more of this conversation with Bob Woodward and President Trump. But first, let's get some calls in here. Bruce in Middletown, California. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Tom. Well, we have got a fantastic guy in the White House there, don't we? You know, it seems to me like, I don't remember not too long ago, something about the FBI leaking a story to a news agency and then waiting for it to be broadcast and turning it around and saying, look, here's the reason we have for the warrant. This thing about the op-ed, like you said earlier, I mean, there's no way of knowing what the credibility of this is unless they actually name the person that they got this information from. This could very well be the same thing that was happened before about feeding information in, waiting until it comes back out, and then saying, aha, there's something that we need to go after. I just don't trust any of this unnamed stuff. If someone's going to say something about our president, they need to have the guts and the fortitude in order to stand up and stand by their words and not be unanimous.
Anonymous,
exactly.
I will tell you how Woodward's book is going to be either credible or dismissed is he says he has tape. And you heard him say to the president, hey, I'm turning my tape recorder on. Is that okay with you? And President Trump said, yeah, sure. I don't, you know, it's okay. If he has tape, if all of his interviews are taped, and he says they all were, then we've got denials coming out from people. When is Woodward going to come forward with the tapes that prove that the denials are true or false? I'm waiting for him.
And then when those tapes do come out, I bet there's going to be a whole lot of house cleaning as well.
But this is the thing. I don't understand. It's been a long time since I've worked in a place where there was backstabbers, but man, there's a lot of this going on underneath. And we hear about the deep state. I think the deep state is down the hall from the president's office.
More than likely, or somebody from the deep state anyway, yeah. Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, backstabbing is nothing but cowardice, and I don't think we have a president that's a coward, but it sure sounds like there's a lot of people around him who are that just don't want to be found out.
Yeah, and he's got the difficult task of house cleaning. Who is it? Can he find out?
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
So just thinking about this book, the Woodward book, and getting a lot of publicity, so he'll make a boatload of money on it. Good for him. And this op-ed, this anonymous op-ed in the New York Times published just within the last hour. That's the other part that I'm baffled by. If you don't like the guy, that's fine. Quit. Why are you part of his administration? Why are you part? If you don't like the company you're working for, if you don't like the boss, and the boss, if in this case, this is the chief executive officer of the executive branch. If you don't like it, leave the White House. You don't have to quit the government. Go work for some agency somewhere. But why would you stay working at the White House if you can't stand what the boss is doing? Why would you talk to Bob Woodward and say, oh, yeah, the boss is an idiot. Tell you, he's terrible. I tell you, he doesn't know what he's doing. Why are you there? 855-295-6600. Here's more of the conversation between the president and Bob Woodward, in which they're still talking about the fact that President Trump says it's a shame he wasn't able to sit down and have a conversation directly with Woodward.
All I can say is the country is doing very well. We're doing better economically just about than at any time. We're doing better on unemployment maybe than ever. You know, I mean, if you look at the unemployment numbers, you've heard me say it. And we're doing better on unemployment than just about ever. We're having a lot of companies are moving back into our country, which is would have been unheard of 2 years ago. If the other administration or representatives of it had kept going, or kept, you know, if the other group had won, I will tell you that you would have, I think you'd have a GDP of less than zero. I think we would have been going in the wrong direction because regulations are such a big part of what we've done, Bob.
Well, I understand that point of view, and as you know, it's also a difficult time where the political system and you and my business is being tested.
Yeah.
And you know, I take it very seriously. I've done books on 8 presidents going back from Nixon, Obama.
Right.
And I learned something about reporting, frankly, Mr. President.
Good.
I've got to go talk to people and see them outside of the White House and outside of their offices, and gained a lot of insight and documentation. And it's, you know, it's a tough look at the world and your administration and you.
Right. Well, I assume that means it's going to be a negative book, but... Well, you know, I'm sort of 50% used to that. That's all right. Some are good and some are bad. Sounds like this is going to be a bad one.
It's a chance missed, and I don't know how things work over there in terms of getting to you.
Well, if you would call Madeline in my office, did you speak to Madeline?
No, I didn't. But
Madeline is the key. She's the secret
I talked to Kelly.
Well, a lot of them are afraid to come and talk, or, you know, they are busy. I'm busy, but I don't mind talking to you. I would have spoken to you. I spoke to you 20 years ago, and I spoke to you a year and a half or 2 years ago. I certainly don't mind talking to you, and I wish I could have spoken to you.
Well,
but nobody called my office. I mean, you went through, different people.
Mr. President, how can I spend all this time talking to people and like Kellyanne and Raj and Republican senators? I mean,
who were the senators? No, they never called me about it.
Senator Graham said he had talked to you about talking to me. Now, is that not true?
Senator Graham actually mentioned it quickly on one meeting, right. That is true. Well, that is true. Mentioned it quickly, not like you know. And I would certainly have thought that maybe you would have called the office, but that's okay. I'll speak to Kellyanne. I am a little surprised that she wouldn't have told me.
Yeah, so why didn't you call Madeline? Well, he talked to a lot of people, but it does make you wonder, why didn't he call the president's secretary? All right, here is where the conversation continues. They're talking about the credibility of this book that Woodward has. And more of President Trump talking about his accomplishments.
What you can count on is that I've been very careful. And Evelyn, are you on?
Yes.
Evelyn Duffy, who's my assistant, Mr.
Hello,
President,
Evelyn.
She transcribed all the tapes because, with permission, I tape people for hundreds of hours.
Good.
And I think there's nothing in this book that doesn't come from a first-hand source. Is that correct, Evelyn?
I believe.
But are you naming names, or do you just say sources?
Yeah, well, it names real incidents, so...
No, but do you name sources? I mean, are you naming the people, or just say, you know, people have said...
I, I say at 2 o'clock on this day, the following happened, and everyone who's there, including yourself, it is quoted, and I'm sorry I didn't get to ask you about these.
I mean, you do know I'm doing a great job for the country. You do know that NATO now is going to pay billions and billions of dollars more, as an example, than anybody thought possible, that other presidents were unable to get more, and it was heading downward. You do know all of the things I've done and things that I'm doing. I'm in the process of making some of the greatest trade deals ever to be made. You do understand that stuff. I mean,
sir,
I hope.
I understand, and I would have loved to go through a discussion with you about NATO, because this, you know, goes back to early in your administration and your concern about it and the agreement that the countries have that they would increase their defense contribution, what is it, by the year 2024. And, you know, so anyway, we are...
Well, you know, last year, if you see the Secretary Stoltenberg, he said, I believe, $44 billion just last year, and that was from last year's meeting, and this year it's much more money they've agreed to put up. So it's a tremendous amount of money. No other president has done it. It was heading down in the opposite direction, so I don't know if you're going to report it that way. Probably not, but it's too bad, but that's all right. But, you know, one of those
things. Everything is going to be factual.
Very interesting conversation, because it was it wasn't contentious, but there was the questions, and the president said to Woodward, "So did you name names? Are you going to name names? And Woodward said that he named. Oh, and the president said, "Are you naming sources?" And he says, "Naming sources of for scenes." I don't know what that means. Woodward said that he's naming sources for scenes. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. 855-295-6600. Art in California. Art, hi, you're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Don. I've talked
hi.
To you before. So I was listening to a caller, you know, that essentially I thought was a Trumper, and I wanted to provide some alternative points.
But you got one minute, so you got to make it quick.
Okay. Well, I didn't vote for Trump, but I had hoped that he would, quote, be presidential, and I tried to give him the benefit of many doubts to believe that he is a credible person. And I must say, I just am sorry to say that I think he is a liar and that he no longer has any credibility, and that he himself is a backstabber. And as far as your point about why don't they just quit,
yeah,
I think some people might feel like they have a duty to inform about, you know, somebody who is off the wall and all those kind of things in order to perhaps protect the country, protect, you know, other people.
I've heard that. I don't know. It sounds kind of valiant to me that I am going to save the country from President Trump, but I appreciate it.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, let me get these in before we have time. We got time for both of these. More debate on whose fault it was that the two never met in person. This time, Kellyanne Conway gets on the line and debates with Woodward.
It is not a good thing for my business, if I may say this to you, Mr. President, to the presidency or to the country, to not have real full exchanges on these. And I broke my spear on it trying to get to you.
Well, other than Lindsay, who did quickly mention nobody told me about it. Well, let me ask her. Why don't you speak to Kellyanne? Ask her. She never told me about it.
Kellyanne.
Hey, Bob. How are you? Hi.
I remember 2.5 months ago you came over and I laid out I wanted to talk to the president, and you said you would get back to me.
I do, and I put in the request. But, you know, it was rejected. I can only take it so far. I guess I can bring it right to the president next time. But I try to follow all the protocols, or else I'm accused of being somebody who doesn't follow protocol.
President Trump, I just want you to know I made every effort.
Did you? But you had talked to Hope, right, who said no?
Listen, I talked to anyone I could.
You talked to a number of people, and they all said no?
Raj. He was going to work it out.
Hope, me.
Yeah.
So you said you tried to talk to everybody. What about when you interviewed other people?
Yeah.
They all said yes?
Well,
that they'd try?
About six or seven people I tried, and I couldn't have, you know, you and I spent a whole lunch on it, Kellyanne, and I said, I want to cover the substantive issues in foreign policy and domestic policy, and you said you would get back to me. Nothing.
Yeah, so I did. I presented it to the people here who make those decisions, but... But anyway, I'll give you back to the president, and I'm glad to hear that you tried through seven or eight different people.
Yeah.
That's good. You should tell him all the names. Thank you.
Oh, man. I presented. Who did she present it? She said, did you talk to Hope? That was when Hope Hicks was there. I think John Kelly nixed the thing. I think John Kelly said, no. No, you're not talking to reporter. And finally, Woodward again emphasizes how he tried to reach the president.
But you never called for me. It would have been nice, Bob, if you called for me at my office. I mean, I have a secretary. I have two, three secretaries. If you would have called directly, a lot of people are afraid that Raj, I hardly have, you know, I don't speak to Raj. I do, and Kellyanne went to somebody, but she didn't come to me. And she should have come to me. She does have access to me, absolutely. She has direct access, but she didn't come to me. Yeah. And you know what? That's okay. I'll just end up with another bad book. What can I tell you?
It's surprising to me that these people, did Raj have access to you?
Not really, but he would have been able to do it. But I have an office. You have the office number. I have an office that's directly into my office. It doesn't matter. Let me tell you what matters. The economy is the best it's been in many, many decades, and it's going to get a lot better. And the country is doing very well. That's what's important.
Yes, sir. I thought
we're doing a good job.
Kind of say, let's not talk about this because the book is done.
Yeah, I know.
The president. But you know, that's the position we're in, and it's one I tried to avoid. You need to know I made maximum effort.
All right, it's too bad.
Yes, sir.
I'm just hearing about it, and I heard I did hear from Lindsay, but I'm just hearing about it. So we're going to have a very inaccurate book, and that's too bad.
No,
but I don't blame you entirely.
It's going to be accurate, I believe.
All right, okay. Well, accurate is that nobody's ever done a better job than I'm doing as president. That I can tell you. So that's the way a lot of people feel that know what's going on, and you'll see that over the years. But a lot of people feel that, Bob. So
I believe in our country, and because you're our president, I wish you good luck.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate it. Bye.
Well, that sounded a little testier. Not too much. They were still very polite. Very polite, but I don't know what you make of this. The part that when the president said to him, are you naming sources? And he said, I'm naming sources of scenes. Not quite sure what that means. 855-295-6600. Kevin in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Tom. It's always great to talk to thee, Tom Sullivan. Hey,
thank you.
I'm trying to figure out, why do we want the controversy to not happen? I mean, ever since he announced, he's been surrounded in controversy and he became president. As soon as he becomes president, he's surrounded in controversy, and the markets have never done better. Unemployment has never been lower. You know, I look at it, everything's great. I'm figuring this Bob Woodward book should put at least 10% onto our market. And if he gets impeached, boy, the sky's the limit on where the market goes.
How does that affect the market again? Say that again.
Well, but all the controversy we've had so far, all of it.
Yeah. Right.
He's gotten elected president.
All the
controversy we've had since he's been elected.
Who cares?
The market goes up. Everything he's done, I think he thrives on this controversy. And look at what the markets have done. Housing market, stock market.
see, this is Kevin. I gotta ask you though. I mean, I'm sorry, but I've never given credit or blame for the stock market to a sitting president. I just have not. The stock market is simply, now here's the indirect connection. The stock market is simply a reflection of corporate earnings for the companies that are publicly traded. Now, corporate earnings are way up. Why? Because of the tax bill that gave corporations a huge reduction in their taxes. So that is why the stock market is up more than anything else. But it doesn't get, the stock market doesn't get involved in politics. They get involved in only one thing, earnings. That's all they care about is how much are you making. But I appreciate the call, Kevin. I hear the full combat line band working today. Market was actually split. Dow up 22 at 25,974. The S&P was down 8. The NASDAQ down 96. This was primarily after that tech hearing in front of Congress for at least two of the three big tech companies out there, Facebook and Twitter. On the price of oil, where's my oil? Oil, $68, and gold at $1,202. On the comment line, this caller says he has no problem with how the Democrats are handling Brett Kavanaugh.
I don't blame the Democrats for trying to muddy up the waters for this Kavanaugh guy. Hell, President Obama's Supreme Court nominee didn't even get a hearing.
Well, he did not get a hearing, that's right, but because there was a procedure that allowed for it to be put off till the next administration. Could have been Hillary. This caller, tired of hearing about the hearings already.
Some taxpayers should be asking, how much is this nonsense and charade, or whatever you want to call it, in Washington, costing the taxpayers? Millions, I bet.
At least. I am absolutely right. That's why I say, why don't they just submit questions and have the nominee write the answers? No television cameras. And then had them vote on it. But I'm whistling Dixie.